Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with world high stakes golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Are you a single mom? Or do you know someone who is raising her kids alone, all by herself? You know, I did it 40 years ago, so I know the drill. Tell me, have you ever wanted to know how to meet the real one, the right one for you, and the right one for your kids, too? Can you imagine re-scripting your own life? Rewriting your own life, what an interesting experience that would be. Tell me, is fear holding you back? And when was the last time you heard about the five-finger philosophy? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest. She's been on my show before, and she's fantastic. She's a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with wonderful inspirational lessons and informative lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.7 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest. She is an Emmy Award-winning, 20-year veteran television executive producer, a healthy living expert, single mom advisor, spokesperson, speaker, and Amazon's best-selling author of It Takes All Five, A Single Mom's Guide to Finding the Real One. She has an MA in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica and a BA from UCL. She is a member of the Directors Guild of America, an ACE certified personal trainer, and weight management consultant. I am thrilled and pleased to welcome back to our show today, Carrie Zane. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
I'm good, January. How are you?
Oh, it's wonderful to have you back. You've had quite an interesting time getting through your success story, getting to be successful. Would you share about with our listeners how it started for you?
You know, I think that the biggest success come from probably your most traumatic failures. And I think it happened in my, well, I don't think, I know it happened in my personal life and in my professional life. When I decided to close my business and write my book, I had sold a TV show to one of the top networks, cable networks, and it, you know, probably should have been like a seminal moment in my career. And it turned out to be a disaster. I mean, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And I remember I was pacing the halls in my house in the middle of the night thinking, I'm going to lose my house because I can't take this. It was a big hit, a big financial hit.
Sure.
And I, you know, I somehow struggled through it, but I decided that it was time to take a break. You know, the divorce was taking its toll. I lost my father that year. My brother was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and my mother contracted shingles and nearly died. I mean, it was a pretty, you know, it was like a lot. It was like, okay, just throw the phoenix in the fire. Let's see how she does. And I decided it was time to take a break and go back to school and get my master's and really give back to a community that I continue to be a part of. But, you know, remembering going through my divorce and how challenging it was and having nowhere to turn. So I wanted to be that resource for other single moms.
Oh, I think your mission is incredible. Now, you were married for 12 years before it all crumbled to pieces. Share a little bit about how devastating that was for you, because life as you knew it was over, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And I think we all go into our marriages with the idea that it's a happily ever after. I don't know anyone who goes into it thinking, well, you know, maybe if it doesn't work, you know, we'll just get divorced. Mm-hmm. So, and I was, you know, very much the same. And I had two young daughters. They were 8 and 12, and you know, we had a beautiful life from the outside. It was you know, perfect, and the inside was not perfect, and it was a very, very hard decision. In my case, it was my decision to leave the marriage for a number of reasons, and that doesn't make it any easier. It's a struggle, and you know, your partner. Even in the best of situations, divorce is traumatic.
Oh, totally. And especially for the children. And I think for every woman, you know, I was a single mom myself. However, I was widowed, which is a different situation. It's almost more socially acceptable than being divorced. Being divorced is very difficult. And you had two young daughters, so now you're thinking, how could you financially support them? And would you ever find another man again? Aren't those the questions that go through your mind whenever you're a single mom?
I think it goes through everybody's mind. It goes through your mind, and it goes through everyone else who's watching you. They want to know if you're gonna find somebody again. And, you know, honestly, it is hard to go through a divorce. It's hard to be a widow as well. I think that you face the same challenges that we do in many regards. People are not sure what to make of you. You know, they don't know. You know what? You know, they don't even know how to approach you. But
it's true. It's true.
Yeah,
it's awkward.
It's funny. It's weird. But there are so many divorces going on. There are so many women now making the choice to be single mothers. And yet there's still this huge stigma attached to it. And part of my mission is to try and educate not only single moms that it's okay, but the rest of the planet that it's okay. And it's not something that's going away. Single moms are not going to disappear. There are actually more single-parent households now, and it's growing, worldwide. So there's an adjustment that needs to be made by everybody and an acceptance.
Oh, totally. Now, tell us a little bit about writing this book. How long did it take you to write it, and what inspired you to do it? And I'm so glad you did it.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. I have a girlfriend who also is widowed, and she wrote a book for widows. And she was my inspiration. And and I said, so how long did it take you to write your book? And she said, I did it in 4 months. So I thought, wow, yeah, she can do it in 4 months, so can I. It took me 3 years. So my excuse is I went to school simultaneously as writing the book, and so I think, you know, like I'm asking people to cut me some slack, but, you know, I think that it takes as long as it takes, and and I'm glad that I did it the way I did it, because a lot of the education that I received, I infused into my book, and I think it makes it a much richer reading experience for people who pick it up.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're talking about the widow thing. someone once asked me, I was doing an interview, a guest on someone else's show, and we got talking about the fact that I had been a young widow and whatnot, and we got into it, and they said, is there anything that you can say positive about that experience? And all I could say was that I had two beautiful children from that experience, and I had a lot more closet space.
Oh, my gosh. That is an awesome answer. Oh, God, that's so
funny. And that kind of took it all, ended that interview. Now, tell us. Yeah.
Way to go. Throw in the loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what does it takes all five mean? Let's talk about this symbolism of five in your book.
Five is a big number for me.
Uh-huh.
The book is actually broken down into three sections of five. And
okay.
In each of the five sections, I talk about, like, the first section is about how we heal the inside. The
uh-huh.
second is how we heal the outside. And the third is about how, you know, strategies to move on. And I also layered it with my five-finger philosophy, which is okay. my way of how you go out and find your new lover now in, you know, in a different place in your life.
Okay. So five is, I like it. You have it kind of organized so it's easy to follow it. Now, you talk about re-scripting
mm-hmm.
in chapter one, and re-scripting is kind of like rewriting your life. Difficult thing to do, isn't it?
You know, I think the beauty of that is really taking the time to reassess who you are and the stories that were created in your life, and how do you take those stories and utilize them in a new way so that you can create a different picture for your future.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's difficult. I think that it's just, you know, allowing yourself and taking the time. Like, just to give you an example, when I was a young girl at 2 years old, my father abandoned our family.
Wow.
Got up one morning, picked up his golf clubs and walked out the door, never came back into my life. And I struggled for many, like 40 years,
sure.
not understanding why he didn't want to come to my ballet classes or know if I was failing algebra, which I did, you know, and just like, where did this man go? And so it took the time for me to sit back and realize that it wasn't me. It's not my fault. He
mm-hmm.
was doing the best that he could. That was his journey, and it was my journey to learn how to deal with this abandonment issue and
sure.
move past it. And I think it colored the decisions that I made in terms of the men that I did bring into my life. And so when I could clear that and really understand it, allowed me to bring a different type of person.
Now, did you go to therapy to make that leap and to heal yourself?
That was a big part of my spiritual psychology program. And the beauty of that program is that you not only learn skills to help others, but you really heal yourself as well.
Okay. Wow, that's very powerful. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about your host. And when we come back with Carrie Zane, the beautiful, gorgeous Carrie Zane, we're going to talk about why fear is so harmful and how we can learn to live our lives fearlessly. And that is such a big lesson. We'll be right back with Carrie Zane. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who fearlessly shared their stories? People who have priceless personalities? I've been fortunate to host a talk show called January Jones, sharing success stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities: Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today. Welcome back with my guest today, Carrie Zane, who is another priceless personality in my life, and I'm thrilled to have her back on the show. Carrie, let's talk about intuition, and you believe that there's never such a thing as a mistake?
Correct.
Okay.
I don't believe in mistakes. I would like to erase that from our language. What I would love for people to embrace is the idea of choices rather than mistakes. So maybe you make a wrong choice or a bad choice, and it allows you the opportunity to make a different choice and hopefully a better choice. And the beauty of that is, if you know, like, you can keep making choices.
Wow, and it's true. It's so true. But some people have such a hard time dealing with that because they are living in fear. Let's talk about why fear is so harmful to single women, and basically it's harmful to everyone.
Yeah, fear is, it's a biggie because, you know, it makes you do the things that you don't necessarily want to do, or don't do the things that you really want to do. Right? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So it stymies everything. And, you know, if you're coming face-to-face with a leopard or, you know, like an elephant, you know, back in the day it had some value, but now it doesn't have that much value in terms of that flight or fright. So, you know, there are strategies to dealing with fear, which I talk about in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, talk about living fearlessly. What do you tell people who are in a fearful state of mind? How do you encourage them to live fearlessly?
The truth about, there are five truisms about fear, and I won't go into all of them because you can find them in the book. But the one thing that I would encourage people to do is to maybe take a step back and think about what that thing is that you're afraid of. And if there was one thing that you could do to move into that fear, because at the end of the day, the only way to face your fear is to move through it. So taking a baby step, you know, what are the baby steps that you can take to move through that fear?
That's such a difficult thing for so many people to do. Now, share with us the three key elements to being me. How does someone become me?
It is really embracing your wants, your needs, your values, and your beliefs. So understanding all those parts of you are what helps you define who you are and really get in touch with your intuition, which you mentioned before. I think that sometimes we get so caught up in day-to-day and things that we have to do, we don't really listen to our intuition, even though it's like it's screaming at us sometimes.
Sure.
And so that allows us to get back in touch.
Yeah, and I love what you wrote about being compassionate and self-forgiveness, because so many people cannot forgive themselves for things, and it just holds them back, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that, you know, and that sort of speaks to that idea of mistakes. If you live in the world where you make mistakes, then you're wrong. But if you can forgive yourself, if you can look at it like a choice, and, you know, and forgive yourself, then you can move through it. And I was talking to someone the other day about, you know, we get very angry at our exes.
Yeah.
We'll never forgive them, and that's okay. You know, maybe they do some pretty horrible things and you don't want to forgive him, but forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for making that choice.
Okay.
Allow yourself that, you know, that compassionate self-forgiveness. You know, I forgive myself for making that choice, and, you know, and it's okay. And I can move on, and I have the power to make a better choice.
And, you know, once you embrace the self-forgiveness of yourself, and then that enables you to forgive other people, no matter who they may be, it's probably the best thing, the best example you can give your children. Don't you agree?
It is, and it's freeing. It's a full release. And you think about how you hold anger in your body and what it does to you. It can literally make you ill. So mm-hmm. if you can allow yourself that and release that, then you can be healthy. And it is great role modeling for your children to be in that place of peace and contentment. And I'm not saying that you could, you know, that you have to do it overnight. There's lots of strategies. There's lots of workbooks. I think I mentioned I'm doing a webinar series, and I would love to share these skills. But,
there he is, Mama.
You know, you get. I got to the place where I was really grateful to my former husband because I never would have written this book had it not been for my divorce. So you know, wow. Okay. I'm really happy, and I'm having great success at his expense. Woohoo!
Well, that isn't that. You know, they always say the best revenge is living well. And once you've become an author and your book is a best-selling book, it's, you know, let's not talk about revenge, but it sure is fun, isn't it?
Yes. It's very sweet. I am very grateful.
Well, see, that's the beauty of the way the universe helps us get through life. Now, let's talk a little bit about keeping your glass half full instead of half empty.
Mm-hmm. That idea, what I love to share with people is the notion of waking up every morning and knowing that no matter what you do in that day, who you meet or where you go or who you talk to on the phone, there is going to be a positive outcome, something extraordinary, or maybe even something teeny tiny that's great is going to come out of that experience. You have to start your day that way.
What a wonderful, inspiring way to wake up. And it's very important to just wake up and live in the here and now. You can't live in the past, and obviously you can't live in the future. You have to accept each day as it is and enjoy it and go forward. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's nothing about the past that you can change. The past is
mm-hmm.
the past.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot predict the future. None of us can, or we would be bajillionaires. So the only time that you have is in the present. And I love living in the present. And there's this ability to savor every moment, and experiencing the little things makes your life so much richer. You know, if you go out and take a walk in the morning, which I highly recommend, I do it every morning, and maybe stop and smell one flower, or you know, notice like a hummingbird or eagles or whatever your experience is of where you are, even blades of grass growing out of the cement if you live in an urban environment. Just take that moment, and it just makes your life so much richer.
Oh, sure. Now let's talk about dating after divorce. Moving forward after divorce, your philosophy, and what is beauty bias? Tell me about that.
Well, first of all, dating is a rich subject. So there's lots of questions. It's a very different experience dating when you're single and dating when you have children. So there's lots to talk
mm-hmm.
about there. But my biggest encouragement to single moms is enjoy the journey.
Okay.
I've been quoted many times saying even a bad date is a good story.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So when you meet that frog, you can share it as a story.
Absolutely. No matter, and that's kind of like that idea of savoring and living in the moment and enjoying your experience. If it's really bad, your girlfriends are going to laugh their tushies off.
Yeah.
If it's an okay experience, maybe he took you to a restaurant that you've never been to before and the food's delicious. So,
sure.
You know, like you put that back in your memory bank and maybe he'll be great. And maybe you'll learn something from him.
Or maybe he'll introduce you to someone else, and that's the way life works. What is this beauty bias? Tell me about that.
When I wrote the book, I did a lot of research. I love science, backing up everything with science. And there is a professor out of Roosevelt University. His name is Gordon Passer, and he's brilliant. He's written several books about the beauty bias. And what I like about that is that, you know, people make decisions about whether they want to engage with you within the first 3 seconds of meeting you.
Wow.
So, yes. And that it goes for dating and business. And, you know, people make quick decisions. So every time you step out, you've got to step out at your best level. You know, you've got to bring your A game every time. And so I don't like those people who say, he's going to love me. He'll love me like this. Mm-hmm. No, he's not. And by the way, if there's any men out there listening, I'm sure they'll attest to this. Men are very visual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, girls. We got to look good. You know, that's probably why they don't wear makeup and we do, because we're more accepting than they are. And they have to look at our faces.
Oh, well, you know, this is wonderful. I love hearing this because I've always known that first impressions are important. But looking at it from a woman's view and a man's viewpoint, I hear exactly what you're saying. And this is a very important point that you're making for single women out there. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from one of my sponsors. And when we come back with Carrie Zane, she is going to share her website information and tell you how to get her fantastic book, It Takes All Five, A Single Mom Guide to Finding the Real One. We'll be right back with Carrie Zane.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
I hope all of you will read Pat's book. It's a fantastic book. I highly recommend it. You know, I'm in a second marriage, and I'll be celebrating my 43rd anniversary soon. So I'm all in favor of that. You know, we're back with Carrie Zane. Now, Carrie, could you share your website information and tell my listeners how they can get your books?
Absolutely. The website is my name, Carrie Zane, K-E-R-R-I, Z like zebra, A-N-E.com, CarrieZane.com. And on the website, there is a link to the purchase of the book. There are several different websites that carry the book. I believe it's in Barnes & Noble stores as well, or you can ask them to order it for you. And I also have on my website that I'm excited to talk about is my Single Mom Superstar webinar that's coming up in September 25th. So you log in there and get the information about all the good stuff we're going to do there. In fact, the book comes with the webinar, so you can't go wrong.
That's fantastic. Well, I was at your website this morning. I'm very impressed with it. I highly recommend it. If you're a single mom, this is the go-to girl because she will help you figure it out and help you get through it. Now, Carrie, tell us a little bit about the five-finger philosophy. I love it, five.
Yeah, it's a great visual, I think, because I talk about the fingers because if you think about when you grasp hands with somebody else and you lock your five fingers together, then it's a rock-solid hold, right? And so each finger represents an aspect of our personality. So they are physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and sexual. And if you can find those five aspects and match them up with another person, and you lock that together, just like you lock your hands together, you've got a pretty good relationship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's wonderful. I love it. And what's the biggest myth about dating a single mom?
There are several, but I think that the biggest myth is that single moms are not, they don't want to have sex anymore.
Oh, really?
Dead wrong.
Oh, we do.
In fact, we're much more relaxed about the whole sex thing because we've already, you know, been down the aisle. We don't need to hold out for a ring. And we've already had our kids, so we're not in a rush to snag you because our biological clock is ticking. So it's a much more relaxed experience, actually, dating a single mom.
Well, I hope that all the 1.7 million men listening hear that, because that's a big...
Yes. They just have to be understanding. The caveat is, yes, she does have children, and those, she does need to find babysitting, and the children do, to kind of take priority. But...
Okay, now what's the benefit of dating as a single parent from your perspective?
I think it's that idea of not being in a rush. We can take our time and really get to know somebody, and there's not an agenda, I think, that there was when we were younger. It's more about experiencing that person and getting to know who they are as on a deeper level.
Sure. And for single moms, what's the biggest problem they face when they start dating? Obviously, explaining this to your kids is not easy. My children were so young when I started dating, I didn't have a problem. But I know if you're dealing with teenagers, that must be difficult.
It is. And I think the question is twofold. There's a little bit of guilt that needs to be released when you go out on dates.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is not losing sight that you are a woman, and it is good to have adult
time.
Partners and relationships and kind of that sort of bonding. I think explaining that to your kids, that there are things that you want to do that they might not want to do, or things that they can't do, like going to an R-rated movie. And so mommy needs to find somebody who she can share those experiences with. And by the way, don't hide the fact that you're dating from your kids, because they're going to know. They're pretty intuitive. If you get all dressed up and you look real pretty, you got your makeup on, they know you're not going to grandma's house, right?
Yeah.
So... you don't have to introduce them to everybody. In fact, don't. But do let them, be honest with them. Let them know where you are. Thank God for cell phones. They can reach out to you when they need to, or if they get afraid.
It's a difficult time. And actually, I love what you're saying about keep in touch with them, because they won't feel abandoned that way. But let's talk a little bit about the money situation. Now, when you're during separation and divorce, money's a problem. It's an issue. You can't get around it. How do you stretch the dating dollar? Do you always do Dutch treat, or how does that work for you? What's your recommendation? What do you recommend?
That probably relates more to the guys in the audience than the women. There's still a little bit of that going on, chivalry, I think we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are ways to get around it. There are beautiful dates that you can, picnic lunches, taking walks on the beach, which has seemed so trite, but women really love it, and it doesn't cost anything. During the summer, I know where I live, they have concerts in the park. That's a really fun date. Farmers markets are great just to wander around. I think there are things, you got to kind of put your creative thinking cap on and do something other than just going to a restaurant or a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's talk about every child from divorce. There's just no getting around it. They always hope that their mom and dad are going to have a reconciliation and get back together. And that's a tough one to deal with, isn't it?
It is. And no matter how old they are, even mm-hmm. adult children, if you get divorced when they're in their 20s or 30s, they still may have this little thing inside them like, oh, maybe my mom and dad will get back together. So you have to be really clear with them. Most people who separate do not get back together. I think there are a few, but not many. And so you need to be really clear that that's not going to happen. But also, and more importantly, be really clear that it doesn't impact how much you love them and that uh-huh. they are priority in your life, and there is nobody else who's going to come into your life that is going to usurp their place in your life. Because really, at the end of the day, kids are, it's all about me. Right? It's all about,
sure.
Well, what about me? What about me? How am I going to get to school? You know, who's going to make my lunch? What, you know, what's going to happen? You know, so make them feel okay that they are unconditionally loved.
Now, let's talk about kids. Are they more accepting of saying that their father's dating someone than their mother who they happen to be living with? How does that work?
Sorry, ladies. Kids are tougher on mom.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
just no way getting around it. And I interviewed lots and lots of people, and mm-hmm. hands down, it was mommy who they watched an eye out for more than daddy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It's a very tough one for children. And as you said, they deal with it their entire life. Let's briefly talk about the best way to introduce someone they're dating to your children.
Yes. Particularly when kids are younger, and you know that this person is going to be around for a while. You know, you've dated them for, my rule of thumb is about 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Before you introduce them.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yes. I like to suggest that you do kind of a family sort of date that is very short and sweet. So to uh-huh. me, you know, something like going to get an ice cream is a good idea.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe going to a play park and hanging out a little bit. I wouldn't do like a sit-down family dinner at any length of time. I wouldn't encourage them to go to a kid's sporting event where the other parent may be there.
Oh,
that can get
yeah.
uncomfortable.
Sure, sure. Yeah, wow. This is such great information that you're sharing with my listeners. You know, we're going to take a break and have a commercial. And when we come back with Carrie Zane, we're going to talk about what the 5 fallacies are about for single moms. We already know that they do like to have sex, so we're going to be looking forward to hear what the other 4 are. We'll be right back with Carrie Zane.
Could your commute or daily exercise routine use a boost? When was the last time you really got the giggles? This is Adele Park, author of Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook, inviting you to tune in, turn on, and let loose a few good laughs. Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook is about a marijuana enthusiast named Blue McKenna who gets involved in a reality TV show as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. A conglomerate of kooky contestants invades the polygamous community of Naval, Utah to compete in a reality show called Yikes. Things get sticky when Blue McKenna's hemp garden is ignited during an ill-fated seance. Find out what's going down in the desert in Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook. Visit www.yikesaudiobook.com to learn more. That's www.yikesaudiobook.com.
You know, Adele's audiobooks are fantastic. I've listened to Yikes and Jitters, and if you're taking a road trip, you need to get those because that'll make your trip just go so fast. Now, Carrie, what's the five fallacies? Well, we're also going to talk about what success means to you, if you have any regrets, and what are the five fallacies about single moms?
Okay, which one do you want to tackle first?
Let's do the five fallacies. One, okay. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. So we talked about the misconception that single moms have lost their sexual mojo.
Okay.
And this is actually scientifically proven that we still got it going on. There was a doctor who did the research and found that single moms actually embody the parent and gender skills, make us more more sexual. So we are selfless and we are flexible, and I don't mean hanging from a chandelier. I mean,
or maybe.
Or maybe both, yeah. If you luck out. And that we're really good at time management skills. So, like good things about single moms. The other thing is that idea of savoring, which I love to teach my single moms about, like really getting in touch with our sexuality. So really enjoying and fully being present to the touch and you know, the senses. So we do know how to relax and enjoy the experience. We are not looking for replacement dads. That's not the sole focus. So guys, get that out of your head. We are also not Madonna. We don't have the Madonna complex. Like, we'll never have sex again until our children are out of the house.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And we also, the misconception that we can't wait to get remarried, also not true. As we've discussed earlier, we got lots of chill time. We've already had our kids. We've already walked down the aisle. We've already had the white dress. Got it all out of our systems. Now we really want to find a person who is the perfect match.
Oh, God, I love it. And, you know, it's so true, because so many single women, whether you're divorced, widowed, or wherever you are, most women do not have an agenda. They're just looking for someone that, as you said, is the perfect match, someone they can connect with, enjoy life, have a good time. Most of them are not trying to get some man to marry them again. Been there, done that. Don't you agree?
Yes. In fact, I think that most men will be surprised that there are a lot of single mothers who actually do not want to get remarried. And some of them that I interviewed may not even ever live with a guy again. Not to say that they don't want relationships or that they don't love men. We do. We love you. There are things that you do that nobody else can for us. But, you know, I don't know if we want to clean your socks or see your dirty underwear on the floor anymore every morning. So, I'm sorry.
Well, some of the people that I've met and known through the years, some of the most ideal relationships that I look at are people that keep their own space, and couples mm-hmm. that are together, but they're not together. She'll have her place, he'll have his place. When they get together, it's very exciting. It's always like a first date. And it's kind of interesting to watch this evolve, where there's not this pressure to be married.
Right. And I actually read a story recently, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, about a couple who was long-term married and they weren't getting along. Rather than getting divorced, she moved out into her own home, and they have date nights, and it's working for them.
Well, that sounds fabulous. I love that.
Uh-oh.
That's wonderful, because that brings back the excitement, the anticipation,
mm-hmm.
and usually on a date night, you're probably both on your best behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully.
It makes it so much more fun.
Hopefully. Now tell us, what does success mean to you right now, today, as we're speaking to our listeners?
Well, I can tell you that the biggest success in my life is being the mother that I am. The other morning, I was walking up the stairs, and my daughter, and by the way, my daughters are 18 and 22, so they're very grown up, but they still live at home. My 18-year-old daughter was coming down the steps, and she stopped me, and she wrapped her arms around me, and she hugged me, and she just said, "I love you, Mama. Thank you so much for everything you do." And that was it. That was like, I can die tomorrow. That, to me, that was the that because really, you've said it. I won an Emmy. I've had tremendous success in my life.
Sure.
But nobody's going to remember that. The only thing that is going to be around for the rest of my life are those children and their love.
Well said. Well said. Now, when we look back, I know I have regrets. Do you have any?
Yeah.
Anything you'd want to share?
You know what though? I'm working on them. I think it's really important to get to that age where you don't ever have regrets in your life. And so there are things that I didn't get to do when I was younger, but I'm working on them now. And so, no, so I take it back. I don't have any regrets. I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
And I think it's never too late. I went to the Rolling Stones concert and watched Mick Jagger dance, like, 3 hours walking around that stage, lifted up his shirt to show his six-pack abs, and
right.
He's 70 years old, right? He's a grandfather, so I went, if he can do it, I can do it. We all can do it. It's a testament to who we are as humans. We should all live with no regrets.
Well, he's one of my heroes. We're the exact same age, and I'm discovering that age is a state of mind. Which we can see when we see people like Mick Jagger out there prancing out on the stage. He's fabulous. He makes everyone feel young again. And what you're sharing is fantastic information. Carrie Zane, the author of It Takes All Five, A Single Mom's Guide to Finding the Real One. And, you know, you're a priceless personality because you have really found yourself.
Thank you.
And I hope that you will come back on our show many more times. I have a million more questions to ask you. And what's in the future for you?
I am getting ready to do this webinar on the 25th, which I am so excited about. And I want all my single mom superstars to show up with me and share in the conversation. And I believe there's a calendar on my website if anybody wants to come to any of my speaking engagements. A lot of them are here in Southern California. But check them out. I would love to have you join me. I'd love to meet everybody in person, all 1.7 million of your listeners.
Well, I'm sure probably 1.2 will show up. And Carrie Zane she's a gorgeous single mom, and her information is incredible. To my wonderful listeners today, we hope you've enjoyed our show. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. They will amaze and use, and they will astonish you just like Carrie did. They will share about secrets about what single women really want in their life. This is a show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too and figure things out. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, I want all of you out there to remember my mantra. If you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop with the whining and start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Carrie Zane. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Okay. Look what Marmor's got. Now I've been giving him one and Zoe one.
Okay, what is it? No, you got to hide that somewhere where he won't find it.
What is it?
I put it right over there. Why do you want one?
Okay. He's leaving home. He's
okay.
Running away from home. He ran away from home.
Where did he
break
the
cord?
He's
running away from home.
He's
back. Hi.
Uh-oh. Yeah. It's on your phone.
Good par 415, 463. Down the track, king to the left, and players glad bunkers to be avoided down the right. We're in fairly heavy rough left. So the fairway is the right spot.
That time already?
No. I just did my nails.
All right, come on.
Thank you.
individual follow-throughs and it's some wonderful shots, a little shy there.